Welcome back. My next guest is the great Luke Jones, always doing fantastic things for Baltimore Positive, WNST 1570 AM, spreading his wisdom on Twitter and the Twitterverse. Welcome in, welcome in, Luke.
Dennis, how are you, my friend?
Doing well, my friend. Great to see you. And you know what? I've been reading your columns and seen some of the you've put out there, the frustrations some of the fans writing about it and emoting about, right? Lack of movement and free agency, the Lamar Jackson situation. Feel like the organization's kind of stuck in the mud, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, it really feels like no man's land. You know, they're in this position with Lamar Jackson and understandably want to be in a position from a cap standpoint to be able to match a potential offer sheet, even though the early indications are, unless there's a team that's moving very quietly in the darkness, so to speak, that there isn't a whole lot of interest, at least right now. But the Ravens want to maintain that flexibility. But at the same time, and fully understanding the Ravens historically have not been a team that's a major player in free agency, that doesn't mean they sit it out entirely either. And to this point, you know, what can they say other than they've re-signed a few of their own, albeit lesser players, guys that aren't exactly at the top of the radar or the top of the depth chart. But other than some depth guys, it's just been a whole lot of hurry up and wait. So it's kind of left them in this position where what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson and what does that mean for the rest of the roster, at least for 2023? I mean, John Harbaugh, and you know, you've heard other coaches say this in the past, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You don't stay the same. It's difficult to look at the Ravens right now and say that, certainly wouldn't say they're any better. And I think you'd have to say they're worse. So now it's late March. They don't play another game for several months. The offseason is not over, but at the same time, when you're looking at this Lamar Jackson situation and it doesn't feel like there's a resolution in sight, you know, you kind of just sit back and you're just kind of wondering, okay, what's going to happen? And what does that mean, at least for the 2023 season, whether Lamar Jackson is the Ravens quarterback or not? It just, you know, you're kind of in that position. Are you really going to be able to maximize your chances to win this coming season? And that's where it's really difficult to say that right now.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And of course, everywhere I go, people ask me, I'm sure the same thing they're asking you, how are they going to improve the receiver room? You know, we see the Nelson Aguilar, they kick the tires on him. There's guys out there, but they just don't have the cap space really to romance somebody that's going to significantly improve the wide receiver room. And even DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, let's, you know, he's over 30. He's had some injuries too the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, really, the problem's twofold. One, as you mentioned, the cap space. Now, they could create cap space.
Of course they can.
They have the ability to do that, and they can do some simple or even max restructures and clear a lot of cap space, which is what they would need to do if there is a team, although I don't know who in Indianapolis, whoever it would be, to sign Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet to create that cap space if you want to match that offer sheet. So you have that issue. So you're trying to maintain as much cap flexibility as you can. But then there's the other piece of this, and we talked about this a lot with the offensive coordinator search, is even DeAndre Hopkins, who would be a trade, the assumption is what? You would have to redo his deal. I mean, that's typically how this works when you're talking about a veteran player of that ilk or better. You know, look at Devontae Adams, look at Tyreek Hill last offseason, A.J. Brown. All those trades were accompanied by a long-term contract and a redone contract. Now, that doesn't mean Hopkins is going to get top of the market, but he'd want his deal to be adjusted. So the point I'm making there is, clearly that wide receiver has some input as far as how a trade would work. So if you're talking about that situation or a potential free agent, even though the board's dwindled and it wasn't a great crop of free agent wide receivers to begin with, who's looking at the Ravens right now with the uncertainty with Lamar Jackson and saying, yeah, I'll not only will I sign up, but I'll give you a team friendly deal? That's not happening unless you're talking about the Nelson Aguilars of the league who aren't moving the needle anyway. So they really are in a position where they're stuck in that way. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't get something done at some point via trade. And maybe that trade comes closer to the draft or after the draft when there's maybe there's a little more clarity on at least Lamar Jackson's 2023 status. But you know, it might just come down to they're going to have to look at the draft, and you know, certainly there are wide receivers that you can look at in that, and we've mentioned some of them in passing. You know, I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Quentin Johnson. Of course, we've talked a lot about Zay Flowers. You know, those are all guys conceivably could be there when the Ravens pick. So it might have to be a draft pick just because of their cap situation and the reality of is any notable veteran player. And again, there aren't a lot of notable veteran wide receivers. Odell Beckham, let's throw him into
Right.
the conversation, regardless of the injury history and potential concerns there. They're looking at the Ravens right now and saying, well, maybe I'll come sign there, but I don't have a guarantee that Lamar Jackson is going to be the quarterback, so I'm certainly not going to give you any kind of a veteran, you know, a team-friendly discount or anything like that. So it just leaves them in a tough spot right now. So, you know, that's not to make an excuse for them, but I think it is the reality of where they are, and you know, that's the problem when this Lamar Jackson situation has gotten to where it is at this point, 2+ years later from the time that they could initially sign him. And you still haven't done it. And there are certainly repercussions that the rest of the roster and their ability to try to improve their chances in at least 2023 are being impacted by this situation, clearly.
Yeah, no question about it, Luke. And the other piece, of course, as much as we get geeked up about rookies, they don't always pan out, right? So there's also a learning curve. So we can't expect a rookie wide receiver to come in and give us 85 catches for, you know, 950 yards and 9 touchdowns, right? So there is a learning curve in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you never, or let's rephrase that. You rarely ever want to be in a position where you are counting on a rookie player to play. Now, you draft someone in the first round, there's clearly expectations that they're going to make it on the field, but you don't want to be in that position where you're drafting a guy to be your, you know, for lack of a better term, your savior at a position, right? And that's not to say the Ravens don't have any talent at wide receiver. We've talked a lot about Rashad Bateman, but there are question marks, especially after the injuries the last couple of years in terms of him fulfilling his potential. So, you know, you have uncertainty with him. And then if you are going to draft a wide receiver in the first round, and I'll remind everyone, oh yeah, they still don't have a starting caliber outside corner opposite Marlon Humphrey until there's, you know, either they bring back Marcus Peters or they sign someone else. You know, they visited with Rock Ya-Sin, who is someone who, you know, has started games in the NFL and has played at a high level. But what's his price point? And again, we come back to the same questions with Lamar Jackson and his status holding everything up. So, you know, when you have two premium positions of need on your roster and you have a first round pick, which 22nd overall, it's not great, but you know, it is what it is. But you don't have a second round pick. And yeah, you did use that to acquire Roquan Smith. So you keep that in the back of your mind. But that doesn't eliminate the reality that you have a need at two premium positions and you have one pick in the first 2 rounds. So as things stand right now, and again, I do think at some point in time, they're going to bring in some players who are outside the organization. You know, it might not be a high profile guy, but they'll make a move at some point. So I would assume at one of those two positions, they'll address. And again, it may just be Marcus Peters coming back because it doesn't appear that he's had a robust market to open free agency. But, you know, you're just in a position where these are really important positions, let alone talking about, you know, defensive line depth in the wake of Calais Campbell being released, or looking at some other positions on either side of the football. Interior offensive line, you know, they're a little thinner. You know, they're thinner there now with Tristan Colon having moved on the heels of Ben Powers signing with Denver. So, you know, you have other positions you'd like to address as well, but you have five draft picks and you only have one in the first 2 rounds. So, counting on any other draft picks beyond that first round pick to play significant snaps in 2023, that's pretty ambitious right there. So, you know, does that mean they're a candidate to trade back? Different things like that. Of course, you know, that's always on the table with the Ravens, with the way that they maneuver and try to operate with the draft on an annual basis. But you just look at their needs compared to kind of the cards that they have in their deck, so to speak. And it's tough not to look at it and say they're, you know, they're really shorthanded as far as the resources that they have compared to what you would believe they need to be able to do to improve their chances to contend in 2023. And that's even working under the assumption that Lamar Jackson is in fact going to be their quarterback this year, which again, I'm not assuming anything, even though as I've said, you know, now a couple weeks since we got to the franchise tag deadline, that each day that passes, it does feel more likely that Lamar will be their quarterback for the coming season, at least, but I'm not making that assumption and ready to just make that bold proclamation that it's a slam dunk, because nothing about this has been a slam dunk going back 2+ years to when we all thought a contract extension was going to be a mere formality.
And let's keep in mind that Eric DaCosta's splash signings, some have worked out and some haven't. Marcus Peters has. Earl Thomas did not, right? Roquan Smith has. Yannick Ngakoue didn't pan out, right? Calais Campbell was a very good signing. So that's what I try to tell folks. Just because you sign someone doesn't mean they're going to come in and be a savior at that position.
Oh, very true. Very true. And that's why I would say I don't think there's reason for panic. Look, people are going to feel how they're going to feel about Lamar Jackson at this point. I'm not going to tell people not to panic over that in a big picture sense. Although I do think that the report from Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk, where there was a source saying that someone from Lamar's camp is reaching out saying that he's, quote, ready to move on from other teams. Well, that's negotiating 101. I mean, what do you think he's going to say if he's trying to drum up interest, trying to drum up more guaranteed money? Well, wait a second. They're going to tell teams, well, Lamar doesn't want to leave the Ravens, but will you do him a solid and offer him more money than, you know, like, I mean, come on. That's where people need to let go of the idea that existed for quite a long time as far as these negotiations, you know, the warm fuzzies, right? The idea that it was kumbaya, that the Ravens and Lamar were in lockstep and they were working at his pace, yada, yada, yada. We need to let go of that. You know, and we need to understand that even if they still work something out, even if they compromise, even if they come to a long-term agreement at some point here in the not too distant future, not predicting that, but even if they do, it could still get uglier before it gets prettier in that regard. And you know, Lamar teased over the weekend that he's got a quote, exclusive interview with himself that's going to be coming out on his YouTube channel, which, you know, I do wonder about the timing of that. Was late Saturday night, and now several days later, we're still waiting. Part of me wonders if someone in his camp kind of said, maybe, or NFLPA or someone said, maybe you don't want to do that, or maybe it'll be launched as you and I are talking right now. But what's he going to say in that? You know, what is there anything earth shattering with that? You know, where is his headspace right now as it pertains to the Baltimore Ravens, just in a big picture sense? You know? Is he looking to move on? Now, you know, the language that report used is different than him saying, I want to move on from the Ravens, or I'm done with the Baltimore Ravens. And he hasn't said that to this point. Now, we have no idea what he's thinking right now, so I don't want to make any assumptions, but I also think it would be wrong to just assume that he's just going to play on the tag if there's no offer sheet and that's that, or he's just going to say, oh yeah, I'll take the Ravens offer. Great. You'd love if he would for the Ravens' sake, but I just don't know. And we know maybe. Lamar is a unique individual, so you never really know exactly what he's thinking. So until we hear something more concrete from him, and maybe it comes in that YouTube interview or not, it's tough to make too many assumptions. That's why I keep saying prepare for anything, because we just don't know at this point in time. Even if the start of the open signing period, the start of the new league year, would appear to favor the Ravens in terms of leverage and this negotiation, wherever it's ultimately heading.
Well, this really stinks, Luke, on a number of levels. Ideally, you have your quarterback all in. Assured he's going to be at the OTAs. Assured he's going to be there. And we just don't have that assurance. It could happen, but it could also go sideways. Lamar Jackson may make business decisions, right? If he doesn't have to be there, he won't be there. And that's the part for me that I dislike about this whole thing. Never mind the negotiation aside is, again, he missed the OTAs last year. Much was made about that. And now we see this unusual negotiating. What part doesn't he understand that you have to have a certified agent to negotiate with teams? You can't have one of your friends or uncertified agent contact these teams and expect a response back. I mean, it's amateurish, it's a bad look, and it's not a way to get a contract.
It certainly wouldn't appear that way. And I mean, if this were a case, if Lamar were just a free agent, unrestricted, no draft compensation tied to him, no idea that a team would have to go through the offer sheet process and sign him and then hope that the Ravens don't match or try to work out a trade with the Ravens, that they, essentially would say, we'll forego the offer sheet and you go, we'll sign him to the tag. You acquire him, we get our draft picks, you sign him to a long-term deal and off you go. Short of that, those elements being eliminated, where a team would just basically do what the Browns did with Watson last year, even though Watson had a certified agent, it does make things really complicated, right? And whatever Lamar ultimately wants, whether we're just talking about more guaranteed money to stay with the Ravens, more guaranteed money from whatever team ultimately wants to give him the most, or if it's a case of after 2 years he's had it and wants out of Baltimore and is, you would think, an agent, a certified player's agent for, 1%, 2%, 3%. 'Cause I've even seen some of these, and it's anonymous reporting, so you take it with a grain of salt. But there have been anonymous reports out there that there would be agents that would take 1% commission from Lamar compared to the, kind of standard 3% or thereabouts. But it just comes down to that certified agent is working for you to get you what you want. I mean, we see this all the time in the NBA, especially. And that's where, I've kind of said that this, I feel like Lamar has tried to take an NBA player approach to doing this, and it's not the NBA. It's just reality until probably not just him, but other quarterbacks try to take that kind of stance and really try to force action in that way. But the point is, you have an agent and you kind of say what your end goal is, right? Your end game. Okay, this is what I want. I want it in this spot. Whether I want to trade, whatever it is, go get it for me. And Lamar, if he had a certified agent a year ago at this time, could have seen the Watson deal and said, I want this. How do I go about doing it? And that's not to guarantee that that agent would have definitely gotten that from the Ravens, but the odds of it happening at that point in time, after having gone through another season where he got hurt and was not able to finish the season. So there's more injury concern than there was a year ago at this time. And you would not have the data points of Kyler Murray not getting a fully guaranteed deal. You would look at that and kind of say, okay, maybe there would have been more of a shot of him getting it at that point in time, but he didn't. And look, that's his prerogative, but it does really leave you in that position where, is he going to be happy? Is, you know, if it is a case of 2023, he's back for this season, and we're talking about this in some shape or form again next year at this time, which I shudder at that thought, but it's certainly a non-0% likelihood of that happening. And it might be a very high, much higher than just saying non-zero at this point. You kind of just look at it and say, what's going to be what's best for the Ravens and for Lamar in that regard? Clearly, the Ravens, they don't have an alternative at quarterback right now. I mean, it's, they didn't go out and sign a bridge quarterback or a veteran backup to upgrade Tyler, from Tyler Huntley. I mean, is there a scenario where the Ravens really like Hendon Hooker and they, he's there at 22, which would be an overdraft, but hey, you don't have a second round pick. So if you're going to try to take a shot at it, it would almost be like what the Ravens did in 2018, taking Lamar with the last pick of the first round, knowing that Joe Flacco was still going to be their guy, at least for the time being. Is there a scenario like that? No idea, but clearly the Ravens aren't in a position where they have an easy pathway to replacing Lamar. So there's motivation that if he's here in 2023, you want to try to maximize your chance to win with him. On the flip side, if you're Lamar Jackson and you're digging in your heels and you say, all right, you know what? An offer sheet hasn't come to my liking, or an offer sheet just hasn't come at all, but I'm still determined to get what I feel I'm worth, which is a full guarantee or a much higher guarantee in line with what Deshaun Watson got, I'm going to play out the season. Okay, well, how does Lamar navigate that sweet spot in terms of protecting himself physically, but also understanding he's got a new offense coordinator, also understanding that it would behoove him to have a better season than he's had the last two seasons. One, in terms of staying on the field. Two, being consistent from week one all the way to the end of the season, as we've talked about. You know, a little less consistency as the year went on the last 2 years. So how does he navigate that? So it's complicated. It really is. And I think what we found over and over and over through this saga is anyone who's made assumptions one way or the other have generally ended up looking, I don't want to say foolish, but have ended up not being correct, right? I mean, again, 2 years ago, fans were bristling that media would even ask the Ravens and Lamar about the contract because they just assumed it was going to happen, right? Well, here we are. So that's where you look at this thing and, you know, what's going to be, if he is here for this coming season, what is going to be the best compromise as far as when he reports, as far as what the Ravens try to do to maximize trying to win this year, as far as his compensation? You know, is it a case where Lamar's going to say, I'm not playing for $32.4 million? And do they maybe come up with a compromise to, you bump up his pay, give him some incentives per game, so there's incentive for him to play if you're worried about that whole narrative from the end of last season? I don't know, but it's messy. And, you know, to your overall point, it's a tough place to be. You don't want to be in this kind of a place with any player, but specifically your franchise quarterback, where, you know, you just wonder about how much trust there really is between the two sides at this point in time. And that doesn't mean that they hate each other. That doesn't mean that it's overly personal, but from a professional standpoint, when you've been at it so long trying to hammer out a deal one way or the other, you know, whether you agree with the one side or the other's methods or not, they've each had a position that carries some degree of merit to it. But when you haven't been able to figure it out and you've been at it that long, sorry, it's just tough to look at that and feel like there's a whole lot of trust between the two sides. And I think it's really difficult to win and reach the pinnacle of success that way. You can go out and look, if Lamar's going to be their quarterback, even if they make minimal additions and they kind of just rely on the draft, there'll be a team that'll at worst still be in the playoff mix, right? I mean, we've seen that. They've been that good with Lamar Jackson. But to sit here and say that I feel like they have a great chance to get to a Super Bowl, especially knowing how competitive and loaded this AFC is, if you haven't been able to have a normal offseason to make some, you know, some meaningful upgrades and everything, boy, that's really difficult to kind of think about it in those terms. So I don't know what the best solution is going to be. You know, again, you could talk about the Ravens looking like they have more leverage and looking like they were proven right. But, you know, something that a question that I would ask Nestor going all the way back to pre-2022, going into the season when it looked like they probably weren't getting a long-term deal done. And I kept asking the question, what constitutes a win for the Ravens here? You know, I mean, maybe Lamar just gives in eventually when he sees that another team's not giving him what he wants. But again, he isn't a fully unrestricted free agent, so he can always hold on to that point. So I just look at it, what really makes this a win for the Ravens? And, you know, if it ends up being you have an unhappy Lamar Jackson coming back on the tag this year, I mean, okay, but it's tough for me to look at that along with all the roster limitations and challenges that accompany that and say that the Ravens are in great position to really try to win a Super Bowl that way. So we'll see how it plays out. But as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, this offseason of discontent for both the Ravens and Lamar Jackson continues and doesn't feel like we're going to have a quick resolution, especially when, if you're Lamar's camp, it makes sense to at least try to wait it out into the draft and knowing that maybe some teams would pivot their thinking at quarterback by then. But the deeper you get into this offseason, it's going to be more and more difficult for teams to move the cap around and your roster construction around to even try to accommodate Lamar, let alone put an offer out there that the Ravens aren't going to match. So he might just be stuck as it pertains to, you know, contractually speaking this year, unless, and this is where we go back to some of the more unsettling thoughts from a Ravens perspective, go back to what we talked about last training camp, unless Lamar flat out tries to play hardball and say, I'm not playing under the tag, you know, I'm not playing here, you know, whatever it is, until he does that, you kind of just look at this thing as being in a, you know, a holding pattern that you're just not going to be sure how it plays out.
Well, I think what's we have to consider also our market dynamics, whether it's the NFL quarterback or even my business. A year ago, Loop, we had virtually no inventory. We're selling a lot of vehicles over MSRP. Or a year later, we have more inventory. We're selling a lot of vehicles under MSRP. So a year ago, there was only one quarterback taken in the first round, Kenny Pickett, to the Steelers. This year, there's four quarterbacks projected to go in the top 10. So teams were desperate last year for a quarterback. And the other piece of this is three of the four final teams in the playoffs, they had quarterbacks with rookie contracts, all of them except Kansas City. And so if I'm Jimmy Irsay in Indianapolis, I can invest $200 million on Lamar Jackson, or I can have a 5-year window open with a rookie quarterback. Yeah, understanding that quarterback may or may not pan out, but at least I have a 5-year window open. And the sad thing with the Ravens is that their window has closed.
It's closed on the rookie contract,
On a
right?
rookie
And
contract,
I mean,
sure.
you can still win. And look, that's not to say Lamar Jackson can't win a Super Bowl if he's
Sure.
on a
It just
long-term
becomes harder,
contract,
that's
but
all.
it becomes more difficult. Sure. And that's the thing that's really frustrated me about this. I mean, how many different talking heads and former players, and look, I think they mean well. I've said this over and over. Fundamentally speaking, Dennis, I'm absolutely in favor of players getting guaranteed contracts in a brutal sport like football, knowing how many the billions, billions upon billions the NFL makes. I absolutely fundamentally support that. But there's fundamentally speaking and there's practically speaking, and
Sure.
understanding where the system is today, understanding where the market is today. As you mentioned, four quarterbacks projected to go in the top 10 this year. Next year, you have Caleb Williams and another really attractive
Strong
quarterback
class,
class.
strong class.
There's the element of Lamar's injury history. There's the element of what he's asking for as far as a massive guarantee. There's the two first-round picks you have to give to the Ravens. There's the reality of the salary cap. There's the fact that he doesn't have an agent. There's the reality that the Ravens could just flat out match an offer sheet and waste all that sweat equity on your side. All of that. That's why I look at all of those different variables. And that's where I just say it's not as simple as just saying, well, just give him what he wants. Well, okay, well, what does that mean? 50 million? Should I give him 60 million? Should I give him 70 million a year fully guaranteed? You know, there's more nuance to it. And let's be clear. That's not to say that Lamar Jackson doesn't deserve the moon. I mean, this idea that the Ravens have, quote, disrespected him is phooey. You can say that the Ravens should pay him more or offer him
Sure.
more. I'll hear that, but don't sit here and say they've disrespected him when the full guarantee that they've offered him would be eclipse, you know, guarantee at signing eclipses everyone but Deshaun Watson. Now, we could say maybe there's something to the idea of, and the reported number that's been out there is what, 133 fully guaranteed at signing. Lamar or Deshaun Watson got 230, right? Is there an argument to say the Ravens come up, and I don't know if they've done this or, you know, again, they haven't, you know, I haven't heard directly this from them or anything like that. Is there an argument to say go up to 160 fully guaranteed? You know, somewhere like that, where you say, you know what? This is where the market was. We're not going off the Cleveland Browns, but we're still going to offer you a sizable jump as far as fully guaranteed money than talking about the Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray deals that were done last offseason. Is that a compromise that maybe Lamar, maybe not in late March, but maybe 3 weeks from now, or maybe after the draft, or maybe in early July before the franchise tag long-term contract deadline? Maybe that's ultimately what they can come to a compromise on. You know, so I'll hear that. But this idea that the Ravens have disrespected this man or they won't pay, you know, there's way more nuance involved here. There is from both sides. And, you know, I just said a couple minutes ago, as much as I fundamentally am supportive of players getting fully guaranteed contracts in the NFL, at the same time, Lamar Jackson, with his playing style and not knowing how well that's going to age, coupled with the fact that he's missed roughly a third of the action over the last 2 years, I don't think he's the best case study for trying to get that, unless And not many people talk about this, and as much as the union's been focused on Lamar Jackson, unless Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert would come forward and say, we want fully guaranteed contracts too. That would change the game a little bit. But if it's just Lamar on an island,
Okay, but good luck with those
I
two
just,
owners. Good luck with
oh
Mike
no, I,
Brown and Dean
no,
Spanos,
I
right? I
hear
mean,
you.
you couldn't
Right.
ask
I
for
hear you.
worse.
Don't.
Yeah. And I hear
Yeah.
you as well. But what I'm saying to you is they can ask for whatever, but Mike Brown and Dean Spanos are going to dig their heels in because they just don't want to pay. They may not even have that kind of money to pay.
Sure. So, but if you're looking at it from the player's perspective and the
No, I hear you.
NFLPA's perspective, that's where I look at this and say,
Course.
I've said this over and over. Lamar, what he's done, the success he's had, the games that the Ravens have won, even with the injuries the last couple of years, that would not scare me away from doing what the Ravens have done, which is give him a
Sure.
fair, conventional, traditional market value kind of offer, saying that we're not going to follow this, what you call precedent by the Cleveland Browns, who have been one of the absolute worst teams in professional American sports over the last 25 years. But if we're going to put that aside, we'll give Lamar, the highest amount of fully guaranteed money at signing. That wouldn't scare me away, but the full guarantee with some of the variables I just laid out about Lamar and the reality of where he's been the last couple of years physically, then yeah, I don't blame the Ravens for wanting to eagerly jump into a contract like that. So, we'll see how it plays out, and maybe it ends up the compromise is three fully guaranteed years or something like that. I don't know, but until there's some compromising going on, and it feels like maybe going to have to be from Lamar. I mean, if he's just going to keep asking for the Watson guarantee, I mean, I just don't think they're going to get anywhere. But if it does come down to Lamar saying, you know what, I'm not going to sign for 133 fully guaranteed at signing, but if you give me 160 fully guaranteed at signing, maybe that'll ultimately be what the compromise is, where then both sides can save a little bit of face compared to what the reported offer was that what Chris Mortensen had back in September, from ESPN. So, but we're speculating here, right? I mean,
We are.
I think what's been so frustrating about this process is there's been so much more speculation than substance, and the media is guilty of that. Certainly, I've tried to not speculate too much, or try to put words into Lamar's mouth or the Ravens, but at the same time, we talk about it, and this is what we do. It's an entertainment business at the end of the day, and this is a very, whether it's entertaining at this point or more exhausting, which I think it's more the latter, but it's very important. There's nothing more important to the future of the Baltimore Ravens right now than what happens with Lamar Jackson, whether he stays here or whether it's ultimately a trade, and you're talking about the most valuable asset that the Ravens have ever had to move in a trade. Or the offer sheet, however you want to, the semantics of it aside. So you've got to get this right one way or the other. And that's the unsettling part right now, because again, what exactly constitutes a win for the Ravens? Knowing that even if he sticks around for one more season, and we're talking about this again next year, is there a way to make it that the sides are happy, and that you can try to maximize your chance to win this year? I don't know. And that's what makes this whole thing so sticky and, quite frankly, uncomfortable at this point.
Well, I think the NFLPA would be wise to push for a guaranteed contract with Joe Burrow over Lamar Jackson. Burrow hasn't had an MVP season, but he was hurt his rookie year, loses a Super Bowl, loses an AFC Championship game. So his body of work has been better in a shorter time frame than Lamar Jackson. So I think if I'm the Players Association, if I'm going to push for a guaranteed contract, it would be Burrow over Lamar Jackson.
I mean, it goes back to what I said. I think it's got to be multiple quarterbacks. I mean, I think it just has to be like we're arm in arm here, and we're demanding this. And your point about, the Brown family and Spanos is well taken. Although at the end of the day, I also do question if some of the, even the owners on the lower end are truly as cash poor as they make it out to be? Or is that a convenient excuse to continue to dig your heels in on the idea of a fully guaranteed deal? I don't know. You know, again, it's these are
Fair
talking
point.
points. We don't know ultimately. But if the NFLPA truly wants to get that done, got to be more than just Lamar Jackson pushing for it. To me, that's where it comes into, you know, you put out a joint statement of Lamar, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and I'm not saying it would be successful, but I think it'd have a much better chance of being successful than where it lies right now with Lamar now, as we continue this hurry up and wait kind of feeling where, you know, we're just kind of looking to the next checkpoint and say, okay, the first wave of free agency, the second wave of free agency, the third wave of free agency is over. Now it's the draft, I guess. You know, is there going to be, you know, hypothetically, is there a team that after the draft, maybe they don't get their quarterback or, you know, something doesn't happen with their roster the way they plan it to, and they're going to pivot. I don't know. Again, there's so much cap space and the structure of an offer sheet that you would have to do other than just saying, yeah, we'll give Lamar's full guarantee. No problem. If a team does that, then we're talking. But if it's a case where a team's offering way more than the Ravens and they structure it in a way to make it difficult for the Ravens to match, I don't know. The more time goes on as far as getting deeper into this offseason, I just find that to be less likely because, yeah, the salary cap, contrary to what some will tell you, it does exist. Yeah, there are ways to manipulate it, but you still have to pay the piper at some point in time. And when you're talking about a fully guaranteed deal, we've already seen it with Cleveland, with restructures and what they're going to do with Watson. I think it's very evident with how they're structuring things. And look, they've made moves, but they're kind of in a position where if they don't win this year or next year, then I think you can kind of forget it for them. And that's assuming that Deshaun Watson goes back to playing like he did in Houston and not the guy we saw late last year, which wasn't anything special, that's for sure.
Luke, it's been a lot of noise the last 2 years, and unfortunately, it continues to be so until further notice. He said, she said, they said. they're thinking this, he's thinking that. They're doing this, he's doing that. They're all posturing. But until further notice, Luke, it's exhausting more than exhilarating, as you said, but it remains noise to me until further notice.
It is. It is. And that's, I'm glad you mentioned that because I see a lot of frustration. Obviously, I'm on Twitter a lot, right? And people are on Facebook and you see so much frustration. And I saw a lot of people, fans reacting harshly to what, you know, what the PFT report was the other day in terms of Lamar's camp telling teams he's ready to move on, which again, I already said, that's negotiating 101 right there.
Yes.
Whether he's actually ready or not is another story, but
sure,
taking that at face value, go outside and enjoy, you know, it's spring now. There's lacrosse. Orioles baseball is a week away. You know, we're a week out from opening day, or less than a week out from opening day, and the NCAA tournament. I mean, boy, the first two rounds were fantastic. You've got the NBA and playoffs coming up. You got the Stanley Cup playoffs coming on. There's plenty going on. And my point with that is, it's a lot of what you just said. You know, kind of ignore the noise, exhale. I don't know this, but I don't think we're going to have a resolution to this today or tomorrow or even next week. So there are other things going on. The Baltimore Ravens will not cease to exist. Lamar Jackson will not cease to exist, however this plays out. So try to find some other things to enjoy in the sports world. I mean, my goodness, Ohtani against Mike Trout in the World Baseball Classic the other night was one of my all time, as far as just a single dream matchup kind of scenario, one of the best things I've seen in my lifetime watching sports, you know, just a one-on-one individual matchup. That was fantastic. So don't let this consume all of your energy as a sports fan, because, you know, at the end of the day, it is business and that's where they are right now. And it's, you know, it's bordering on maybe getting a little uglier than it's been to this point, but, you know, what's the expression, to make an omelet, sometimes you got to break some eggs. And yeah, that's kind of where they're at this point. I think that's where, you know, that was kind of some of the thinking as far as the Ravens putting a non-exclusive tag on Lamar, that hey, Lamar, you think you're worth this? Go out and try to get it. And to this point, still very early, but to this point, it looks like the Ravens may have been correct about that. Now, Lamar Jackson may not come around to that line of thinking anytime soon. And I can't say I necessarily blame him in terms of if he's going to try to wait it out. But the point is, settle in. And as I also wrote, you need to get comfortable with the idea of being uncomfortable as it pertains to Lamar and the Ravens right now, because I just, I don't know if we're going to see a very quick resolution here. But hey, I guess stranger things have happened, so you never know. That's why it's important to be on the WNSC Baltimore Positive Text Service, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. How'd you like that plug, Dennis?
Love that. I almost gave that plug like 3 minutes ago, but I tell you what, if Lamar Jackson gets a contract offer from the Ravens to his liking, at the press conference, you could bet your bottom dollar he'll be saying, "Hey, this is the greatest organization in the world. I love being here. I love the ownership. I love the cost. I love my teammates. I love the fans. This is the greatest city in the history of the world." That's what he'll say at the presser, and everything will be forgotten and forgiven. It really would, and everybody moves
Yeah,
forward.
right, and that's a point that I've made with Nestor, with us two debating this, where I mean he's been more of the thought that they're going to move on from him and trade him, and I just I think all of these contract standoffs, whether you're talking about this one, I think back to Ray Lewis in the early offseason of 2009, any number of players playing on the tag over the years. I mean, the Ravens tagged guys multiple years. Suggs, Chris McAllister was tagged twice. I think there's a tendency to kind of forget that it can get ugly, it can get contentious in the moment. But if you do get the deal, hey, that whatever the ultimate guaranteed money is, that has a way of making people forget about the things you were mad about. And don't forget, if there is a press conference, you'll also hear Lamar say it wasn't about the money, right?
Of
So
course.
but
Of
we'll
course.
see how it plays out. And there are also times where you don't work it out, and sometimes there is the proverbial divorce, and we'll see how this plays out ultimately. But again, there's plenty else going on. Hey, I didn't even mention WrestleMania coming up here in a couple of weeks as well, so looking forward to
There's other
that.
things besides the Lamar Jackson saga. Luke, as always, I appreciate your time, your thoughtfulness, and your insight. Please tell our listeners where they can find your social media, all the great stuff you do for WNST, Baltimore Positive, as well as your blog.
Absolutely. I encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter at WNST. You can follow me personally at Baltimore Luke. As I mentioned, opening day right around the corner. Orioles home opener on April 6th. I'll be out at the ballpark watching the Orioles as they convene with the 2023 season. Check out my blog at BaltimorePositive.com, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. The latest on the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, 12 Ravens thoughts. I'll have Orioles content mixed in there as we're getting closer and closer to the start of the 2023 campaign. You want to be on the WNST Baltimore Positive Text Service, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore, as I already mentioned. If it is news about a Lamar Jackson contract, a Lamar Jackson trade, a Ravens outside free agent signing, Marcus Peters re-signing, any of those possibilities, any significant local sports news sent directly to your mobile device via the WNST Baltimore Positive Text Service, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. And of course, anything throughout the week on AM 1570 with Nestor. Any Ravens press conferences coming up, a sound from the ballpark, Orioles players, coaches, manager Brandon Hyde. Check out all of that in the coming weeks at BaltimorePositive.com.
All right, my friend, I appreciate you. And next week, let's talk some WrestleMania. I'll put that on the calendar. How about that?
Sounds good. Hey, the bloodline, Roman Reigns against Cody Rhodes, the bloodline, a 2-year-long storyline, one of the best long-term stories I've seen in the history of professional wrestling. I don't say that lightly
That's
either.
saying a lot.
One of the better stories I've seen right around the corner, WrestleMania. Yeah, it's been fun. We'll talk a little bit about that,
Yeah, that sounds
Dennis.
good. I appreciate my friend. Stay well. Keep doing great things.
Thanks, Dennis. Be well, man.
Thank you, sir. There he goes. Luke Jones, our very own Luke Jones here on 1570 AM WNST. We'll take a break and come back right after this.